This is a Triple J podcast.
Prescription pills, it was alcohol, it was ice, it was G.
That may be the view of young people, it's not the view of our government.
If I don't meet a girl, it's pretty hard to tell her that I'm uncontactable.
To connect, to have a good time, to dance it off like nobody's watching.
This is going to have an effect for generations to come.
Okay, let's go. It is the end of the week. I'm feeling like we have launched right into the festive summer season. Maybe you've got your work Christmas party coming up soon. We've got ours at Triple J tonight. And it is a bit of a weird energy around the office today, I must say. I was getting around in a wig before. Love a wig. Can't get enough of it. We'll probably have a few more on by the end of the night. G'day, I'm Dave Marchese. It is The Shake Up, where we wrap up your news for the week. And we're going to be talking work parties a bit later on. I want to hear the most embarrassing thing that you've done at your Christmas party, because I know you've got some rippers. There are some stories there that you'd rather stash away, but they're too good not to share with the country. So let's go. We also will talk about some of the other headlines of the week. Here's a bit of a taste of what's coming up.
Hack. Senator Pauline Hanson cooked steaks on a sandwich press.
I made him a damn good dinner.
You have to, quote, dress with some respect when you're travelling on a plane.
Work Christmas party season is here. Now let's talk strategy to avoid anxiety.
Triple J. Yeah, later we're talking plane etiquette. Are pyjamas at the airport, on the plane, acceptable? Because according to one US official, it's basically the biggest problem facing aviation right now, people getting around in their PJs. He's saying we need a bit of a return to decorum. Thank you very much. Where did the manners go? Why isn't everyone dressing up? Is there anything specific about how people behave on planes that annoys you? What is it? Let me know. 0439757555. We'll be coming to that very soon. But first, let's meet the Shake Up crew for the week. And with us from the Daily Oz, Editor-in-Chief Billy Fitzsimons. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Of course. How are you? Massive week?
I am good. Big week, but it's starting to calm down now. Parliament is over for the year.
Yeah.
And so for those of us who kind of work in the media around politics, starting to calm
down.
It's
a bit of a relief, right?
Yes.
Like the politicians are like, thank God we can get out of Canberra, maybe, or maybe not actually. Maybe they love being at work, I don't know. But also for the media, it feels like it's a bit of a downward slide into the year. Any big plans for the weekend, Billy?
Oh, no, maybe a lot of swimming.
Oh.
The weather is great at the moment, so I'm going to take advantage. It is, Monday will be the first day of summer.
Oh, yeah.
So getting ready.
It really, and it feels like it.
It does.
For a while I was thinking, is summer ever going to come? But no, we're definitely into it now. Also on the show with us, someone who hasn't been on the Shake Up for a hot minute, Remy Hee, how are you?
G'day, Dave. I'm great.
It's good nice to have you back.
Yeah.
What have you been up to?
Triple J listeners. Look, I recently got back into the country from the very stable nation of the United States. So I was there for about 5-6 months. And let me tell you, it's nice to be back on solid ground.
Of course. And I'm really looking forward to hearing about your airport etiquette later on, because you've been on the planes lately. What have you been doing work-wise? Lots of work happening.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah, I've got some fun projects coming out. A great little animated show on New Year's Day with Nick Offerman, Amy Sedaris, Nina Oyama, our very own.
Yeah.
Star-studded cast.
Very funny.
Very funny. Love the movie. It's going to be great.
Okay, that sounds so good. Oh, we love this.
Great. What's it called?
The Pout Pout Fish.
Billy's like, that was the worst plug ever. We didn't even get the name.
Thanks, Billy. Thank you. I've got my media manager right here beside me.
I will absolutely be watching.
Of course. Pout Pout Fish. We love it. We love it. We love it. Did either of you go to the TikTok Awards this week?
No, didn't get the call up.
Oh, no. Yeah. What?
Not on TikTok.
Okay, well, that makes sense. No. You think I got a call up?
Yes.
Stop it.
Yes.
Come on, Billy.
Triple J hack, absolutely.
I would have assumed you would have been there doing the Voxies, but...
Did you go to the TikTok Awards? Text in to Triple J now. We want to hear your story.
0439757555. Actually, I don't care if you went to the TikTok Awards. Bye.
A dinner date with Destiny. Pauline wines and dines Barnaby.
Triple J. Yeah, what a week in politics. Last-minute deals, there were embarrassing admissions, Pauline Hanson's burqa stunt, that was this week as well, felt like a lifetime ago. Then there was an MP abandoning his party, Barnaby Joyce. It was real end-of-year energy, wasn't it, in Canberra these past few days?
Hack. It's Parliament's last sitting week for 2025.
So after 30 years with the National Party, I'm resigning.
I made him a damn good dinner.
She cooked steaks on a sandwich press.
George Foreman will be quite jealous. There'll be a Pauline Hanson sandwich maker next.
After wearing a burqa into the Senate,
oh, look, it's just a bunch of dog-whistling bullshit.
Labor found a way to a deal, not with the Coalition, but the Greens.
I describe this as a great win for the environment.
But struggling to meet key targets.
We are not on track for 90 years.
90 years.
On Triple J.
Yeah, one of the things that also got a bit of attention in politics this week was that lunch with Barnaby Joyce and Pauline Hanson. Or was it dinner, maybe? Lunch or dinner? I think it was dinner. She cooked him a steak on the sandwich press. And I need to know, is this acceptable? Yes or no? Cooking food on the sandwich press at work. What is your unusual office MasterChef moment? Tell me. 0439 757 555. Already hearing from you. On Hack's Instagram, someone says, I used to do soft-boiled eggs in a thermos. That seems unnecessary, I must say. It seems like a very long way to go about it. Another person says, I back steak in the sandwich press. You can also do salmon. That seems a step too far. No, I don't back that. But I won't shame you if you do want to do it. I'm keen to hear what you think. This is The Shake-Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Billy Fitzsimons from The Daily Oz and actor Remy Hee. Billy, as we said before, a lot going on in Canberra this week. First, that Pauline Hanson burqa stunt definitely got attention, like racking up millions of views on socials. What did your audience, the Daily Oz audience, have to say about it?
Yeah, it's always interesting when something like that makes international news. Like when you see it on the New York Times, BBC, you're like, wow, this is really such a big moment.
This probably happened to you, but we posted the video on our socials and then we went to bed and we woke up and it had blown
millions
up.
And millions
tens
of
millions
views.
Of views, and they were all coming from overseas.
Yeah, you know what's just so interesting is if you take the photos from this week of Pauline Hanson walking into Parliament in the burqa and compare it to the photos of 2017 when she did the exact same thing, it's hard to tell the difference between what is what because it is literally just the exact same thing. Mm. And yeah, just an absolutely crazy moment.
Yeah, Remy, what did you make of this? What did you think?
Like, give us something new, babe. You're just rehashing. Like, we're tired of sequels and remakes. Like, what are we doing here? Like, I want to see some innovative racism from Pauline Hanson. Like, come on, man. Now, I'm sick of this old, tired, hacky stuff. Like, she used to be top of the game. You know, she's slipping.
Look, I'm got to say, Pauline Hanson.
In racism, yeah. Like, she was number one in racism.
I got to say, Pauline Hanson would deny that she's been racist and is saying, you know, she was making a valid point. Her followers and people that support her saying similar things. We've heard from those people on the text line this week as well. I mean, she's been suspended for 7 sitting days, Billy. Do you think that that's enough to get the message through?
Look, I think I'm not sure that anything is going to convince Pauline Hanson or any politician for that matter to change their mind. I haven't seen many politicians change their minds over their political careers. So, look, I don't think so. She did have the opportunity to explain whether or not she had changed her mind. The day after it happened, she had 5 minutes and they asked her to apologise, and that, of course, did not happen. So I can't see it happening, but You never know.
Another big revelation this week. Well, first there was those federal environment laws. The government managed to do that last-minute deal with the Greens, get that sorted. Billy, that was a big kind of win for the government, obviously.
It was a big win for the government, but it happened at the same time as they also revealed that they are not on track with their climate targets.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of this interesting juxtaposition of, on one hand, they are doing something when it comes to climate change in Australia, but then on the other hand, they're not on track. But perhaps these laws will mean that they are more on track.
Yeah. Did you see this, Remy? The idea that Australia's not on track to meet its 2035 climate commitment or its 2030 goal without making significant changes. I mean, it's pretty disheartening
shocked.
For a lot of people.
I'm shocked. Really? Wow. No, look, I think we've just seen this country go through so many administrations just dragging their feet on the environment, on climate change. And I think I'm not alone. Like many other young people in this country, we've just become so disillusioned with a government who is afraid to be on the front foot and take proactive steps. Yeah, not surprised at all.
Mm. Well, Billy, I mean, Susan Lee was saying this. I know you interviewed her. She was on Hack as well recently. And in those interviews, she was saying, we're not going to meet these commitments. So kind of why bother trying to set one because we may not get there. It sort of proves her point a bit.
It really does prove her point that, you know, the coalition announced this policy with the reasoning that we're not currently on track, so we need to do something different. And the fact that the government has confirmed that this week doesn't look great for them.
Okay. What did you think, by the way, of your chat with Susan Lee heading into the end of the year? Because there's lots of speculation about whether she'll remain on as leader or not. Do you think that maybe she ended it stronger or what's your analysis?
Having tried to interview many opposition leaders in the past, the fact that Susan Lee was willing to speak to the Daily Oz and to Hack and to speak to young people directly, I think we have to give credit to her for that. In terms of whether she'll remain as leader, I think that she will be sweating over the break, and it won't be because it's about to be summer.
Okay.
It will be because she's about to potentially not have her job anymore, but who knows?
Yeah, right. Okay. So maybe not the relaxing summer that some of the other parliamentary colleagues will be having. Barnaby Joyce, out of the Nationals. A lot of people were expecting this for a little while. There's been heaps of speculation. Remy, what do you think of politicians doing this, like abandoning their political parties after an election? It's nothing new. Like we've seen it many times on all sides of politics.
No, nothing new. And it's like also, again, nothing surprising from someone like Barnaby Joyce. I don't know. I've never really pictured the man as having much of a spine myself, but he just sort of, I don't know, and I don't really care. Like, I just don't.
Do you think many people care? Like, at this stage of the cycle, we're ages away from another election. Do you think people are tapped into the machinations and the day-to-day of what's going on, like most people?
I don't know, man. Like, just wake me up when Barnaby's rolling around on the sidewalk again after, like, 14 beers, and then I'm back in. That's about where I tap in and out of Barnaby Joyce.
Someone on the text line now says, maybe Barnaby Joyce will be the new One Nation leader and Pauline will be ousted. A new era and style of stunt, says someone on the text line. That dinner. Sorry, can we just talk about that quickly? But there's so much in politics I want to talk about. Also, the portrait of Malcolm Turnbull looking a little strange that was unveiled in Parliament House, the arms outstretched like that. But let's go to the dinner. Pauline Hanson cooked Barnaby with a steak on a sandwich press. Billy, I don't know, thoughts on that?
I loved it. Just before we were asking her for a little bit of innovation. I think this is innovation
at its core. Yeah.
This was amazing. Right. It reminds me of, you know, being in your early 20s, being in a share house and trying to figure out how to cook dinner. Yeah. It also is kind of giving Kendall Jenner trying to cut a cucumber. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Similar energy to that. Maybe a bit more, I don't know, organized than Kendall. But
Pauline used to work in a fish and chip shop, right? Yeah. Like she should know how to cook. I think she's spent too long in politics. She's lost some things. And I would love to have a chance to sit down and talk some tips.
Like, oh, okay.
That steak, I saw it. It came out of the plastic wet. She didn't pat it off with a paper towel. You're not going to get a good crust.
You got to season it.
You want that mild reaction. Yeah. You want to, like, ideally salt it the night before. And that was just, like, poor performance on the steak. But, Pauline, we can chat.
We're asking Remy's cooking tips listening. Are there. Of course. The new Nagi is right here with us in our Hack studio. We've got so many messages on the text side. Someone says, what's wrong with getting an air fryer for the office? Another person says, in our office, we had two sandwich presses, one for the meat, the other for sandwiches. That's interesting. Someone else, I've boiled 2-minute noodles inside the work kettle. What? Same as hot dogs.
That is so smart.
No, it's not, Billy.
Yes. Oh, my God. That is genius.
Cooking, I want to know where they work.
Cooking noodles in a kettle?
What?
I've never thought of it. I'm going to try it tonight.
Yeah, but then you've got to wash out the kettle. It's all got to be... Oh, actually, no, because the seasoning goes on afterwards.
Oh, smart.
Yeah, okay. It could work, I guess. What's the Daily Oz kitchen like? Is it pretty chaotic at lunchtime?
We have a tiny,
You have a personal chef, don't you?
No, we have a tiny, tiny... tiny. If you saw our office, you would know. Absolutely not. We have a tiny, tiny fridge that has to be cleared out every single week because it somehow still has stuff left over from last year.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah. We have the opposite of a tiny fridge, and that is not a good thing because all the stuff in there should be carbon dated, I've got to say. Remy, are you a big cooking on the set kind of guy?
Yeah. I absolutely am. Yeah, I've like cooked for everyone on almost every job that I've done.
Yeah, and
it's
really?
It's how I like kind of learned to cook. I would be in a hotel room and I'd get like whatever gadgets I could and like plug things into my room and like cook full on feasts in my hotel room and invite people over. It was really fun.
You can imagine this. I feel like I remember you went through a real cooking stage.
Yeah. I did like a 14-hour slow cooked barbecue brisket when we shot The Princess Switch with Vanessa Hudgens. It was amazing. Billy, are you impressed
hours?
By this?
Yes. Yeah. Start at 8 a.m. and you're not eating until 10 p.m.
Yeah, we're a bit hungry, Remy. Yeah. We're a bit hungry. Some more messages coming through. Someone says, we have someone at work that would heat their neck pillow in the microwave and leave human hair in it. No, you can't be doing that. Someone else says sandwich press is great for chicken kebabs. They're square, so it works out. Another person, a bloke at work cooked a steak on the sandwich press. It set off the fire alarms, full building evacuated and heaps of fire trucks rocked up. That happened at Triple J once. I think it was to do with someone burning their toast or something.
Who was it? Name and shame.
Sally Coleman, I think it was her. another person says cooking on the sandwich press is so much easier and cleaner than anything else. Sunny side up eggs on a sandwich press is A+. This is unbelievable. We've also got Liam who's sent in a message.
He had a co-worker bring some prawns into work and they opened them up. They absolutely stunk and they insisted that they weren't off. We left him to it. And he ate the prawns all by himself and he was sick for about 2 weeks after.
Oh, there's nothing worse than bad smelling seafood fish in an office. Heating tuna up in the microwave, that kind of thing. No. We're not doing that, are we, Remy?
In 2 weeks, like really? You were food sick for 2 weeks? Was this just like an elaborate ploy to get out of work?
Exactly. All right, we're going to switch now from office etiquette to plane etiquette.
Hack. Let's try not to wear slippers and pajamas as we come to the airport.
Triple J.
Yeah. There is a call for a return to manners on planes. Dress codes even. You know, those old-fashioned films of people with their little hats and their suits getting on the planes. No more pajamas at the airport, according to one US official. We need a little more respect for those around us. Yeah, they're really laying down the law in this civility campaign in the United States to return the dignity of travel. So what do you think?
Hack. Are you a pajama and slipper kind of traveler? He says it's time for travelers to dress up for their holiday flights.
Whether it's a pair of jeans and a decent shirt, I would encourage people to maybe dress a little better, which encourages us to maybe behave all a little better.
Try to avoid slippers, try to avoid pajamas.
Plane etiquette. People getting up as soon as the plane lands as well. Like, sit down, you're not going anywhere.
I mean, I wear pajamas on planes because it's comfortable.
Under no circumstances should I be able to see your feet at the airport. I don't want that next to me. Like, just put some shoes on.
Farting on a plane should be illegal. It should be like a jailable offence.
On Triple J.
Remy He in stitches at the moment, farting on a plane. Yes, it's crazy to think about, but people obviously do it. What have you seen, heard, smelt on a plane that really was just too much and you're not having any more of it? 0439757555. You can call in too. Call us, actually. Let's talk to someone. 1-300-055-536. So many messages already. Someone says they make us sleep on the planes. Why shouldn't we be comfortable? Fair enough. Another person, I figure if you can drink bourbon at 8:30 in the morning at the airport, it doesn't really matter what you're wearing. True. Someone else, Mick, says, as a pilot, what bugs me is the push and shove in queues. There's no need. No one is boarding until the pilot is ready. Same with offboarding. Sit down, the pilot says. Yeah, sit down. Thank you very much. It's the Shake Up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, getting into the news of the week with Remy He and Billy Fitzsimons. Remy, what do you think? Because you have just been in the United States. You're on a lot of planes. He's jetting back and forth. He's a traveller. Frequent flyers racking up. Gold? Are you gold?
Look, I just want to say...
Are you gold?
I want to say I was in the Gold Coast earlier this year. And this is
kind of
such a Gold Coast story, right? Like, I'm in the airport. I'm about to catch my flight. And this dude, he just is walking through the terminal, like short shorts, singlet, his wheelie carry-on. No shoes. No shoes in sight.
You didn't say hello to me, Remy.
This guy, he's like woken up. He knows he's traveling somewhere. He's gotten an Uber or a taxi. He's gone through the airport security. He's about to catch no shoes.
Only in Australia.
What is his story?
Yeah. I feel like you probably would see that a little bit in some parts of the country as opposed to others. I don't know. Is that a bad thing? What do we think? Hit the text line 0439 757 555. No shoes at all. Billy, thoughts on etiquette at airports and on planes?
I will die on the hill that you should be able to wear whatever you want when you are on a plane. Like, that is when you need to be the most comfortable, because planes inherently are not comfortable.
Okay.
And so you have to prioritize comfort. And who am I offending in my pajamas?
Okay. But, like, do you think it matters whether it's a long-haul flight?
Yes.
Okay.
I will say.
So if someone's rocking up barefoot, pajamas, smelly on a one-hour flight across Australia, what do you think?
Look, I wouldn't do that.
But you're asking if you do it. Freshly laundered. Clean socks is a minimum. Come
on. Yeah. I think perhaps not the best look. But in Australia, I wouldn't expect anything else. I actually did recently see someone get kicked off a plane. Well, they were just not allowed to get onto the next plane, which meant that they missed the wedding, which I know because she was screaming and shouting, because she tried to push in front of everyone when we were all off boarding.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
And they said, you cannot do that. And when she didn't listen to them saying you couldn't do that, they said, well, you can't get on any more planes for the next 24 hours.
Really?
And she missed her friend's wedding.
Oh, that is a real lesson to everyone. You need to chill out because there are drastic consequences. Yeah. Someone else who's been doing things on planes is David, who's on the line with us. Now, David, you've told us you're a proud father on the plane.
Oh, no.
Not by choice. You just can't help it.
I'm sorry?
It's scientific.
There's science. You're right.
Okay.
The science.
Yeah,
I can explain it. You know how when you order chips from the stewardess?
Yeah.
And the chips are all expanded?
Okay.
It's because of the low air pressure.
Right.
And so your tummy expands, the gas wants to come out. You just cannot help it.
And so it's coming out no matter what you want, David, saying.
Whether you want to or not, it's coming out.
And are you trying to mask that somehow? Are you bringing a little decorum in how you're handling the situation?
Of course. The beautiful thing about the plane is it's loud. Most of the time no one can hear a thing.
David, I feel like I just, like, listened to an episode of Dr. Carl. That was amazing. Yeah, thank you so much for that.
I just want to say the entire control room behind me is in stitches.
It's true. David tells the truth. It's scientific, apparently. You can't help it. You're farting on planes. Someone else says, I'll wear a suit on the plane when I can stretch my legs, charge my phone, and not have to shoulder to shoulder and touch randoms. Okay, that seems like a bit of a ultimatum there. A lot of people are saying this. Let's hear from Liz.
Biggest flight etiquette for me is keeping the feet covered. We're in a confined space, 30,000 feet in the air. I don't want to be seeing your dogs and I don't want to be smelling them. Wear shoes, please.
That is a big one that we're hearing from a lot of people, but this is what Sammy says.
If we pay $1 million for shitty cramped travel, I think we're well within our rights to dress comfortably.
Okay, that is also a very, very common thought on the plane right now, or on the text line about the plane right now. What about other stuff like, doing yoga on the plane? Have you seen this, Billy?
I have not seen that. Who is doing that?
I don't know. The hack team said it happens. People are out there, they're stretching. What about the people, Remy, that do the laps of the plane?
Yeah, look, I don't know. If you're doing a long trip, I mean, some people are at risk for deep vein thrombosis.
Okay, fair
Let
enough.
Let them walk.
Okay,
I don't know.
Sorry, like, I take that back. Deep vein thrombosis.
Person.
Sorry. I am. But unless you're at risk, maybe.
Just go to sleep.
Just
watch a movie.
Ignore people.
Come on.
You know what was also funny that I found was this real focus on etiquette and manners on planes, because this is like a US official who's come out saying we need to crack down here around the Thanksgiving holidays because so many people were flying. And he said, we need to stop being rude on planes. And someone pointed out, wasn't it like Donald Trump that called a journalist a piggy on a plane recently? Like, that's kind of a little bit rude, isn't it?
The call is coming from inside the house.
Got a lot of more messages coming through. Someone says they give first class passengers pajamas. So if it's good enough for first class, then it's totally fine for everyone else. Why why should first class be the only ones to be comfortable on a flight? That is a good point.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah. Someone else to recline or not recline the seat on short flights. Oh, I have real thoughts on this. I never recline on a short flight.
No.
Really?
I even struggle on a long flight. I wait till I'm like 6 hours in.
But what if the person in front of you has reclined?
I still don't do it.
What?
I sit in agony.
And do you think that the person behind you really appreciates that much?
No.
He's a martyr.
Yeah, I am a little bit of a martyr, and maybe I'll be a martyr tonight at our work Christmas party.
This is Hack.
Work Christmas party season is here. Now let's talk strategy to avoid anxiety.
Christmas parties where all the gossip comes out and you'll just see your boss there doing bumper to bumper with their assistant.
Your company is not your family. It is your place of work.
On Triple J.
Oh yeah, it's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? The work Christmas party. And it's the season for it. Everyone's getting ready for summer. Energy picking up for the end of year. Looking forward to some good festivities. But yeah, it is a risky time because you can go a little too hard in front of the boss. The Monday morning return to work feels a little bit hectic, awkward. I want to know, what is the most embarrassing thing you've done at your Christmas party? What happened? How did it go down? Did you redeem yourself? Pearl in Melbourne says, I was at a Christmas party where it was just me and the landscaper boys left for kick-ons. I decided it would be fun to go skinny dipping at St Kilda Beach. I was the only one doing that. It was really embarrassing. Pearl, I imagine it would have been. It's a shake-up on Hack. I'm Dave Marchese, joined by Daily Oz editor-in-chief Billy Fitzsimons and actor Remy Hee. Billy, have you had your Christmas party yet?
I have not. Ours is on the 19th of December, so don't be expecting any content from the Daily Oz team on the 19th of December.
Yeah, put that in your diaries. No news that day. You're kind of one of the bosses, though. So do you think people are avoiding you at the Christmas party, Billy?
Absolutely.
Do you feel the pressure to, like, be on point? Do
yes.
you have to set an example?
Really? Because well, it's a young crew there.
It is a young crew, but as long as, you know, you pace yourself, I'm always the person at Christmas party being like, let's play games. Like, let's do card games. No. Let's play Mafia.
I'm sorry, Billy. I hate that person at the Christmas party.
Oh, that is me every single Christmas party. It's amazing. I love it. No one else does.
Okay. And do you have a thought in your head where you're like, what happens at the Christmas party kind of stays here? Like there's some, you turn a blind
eye
to
something.
Look,
I think you just have to be careful about who sees whatever it is that you're doing.
Of course.
Like no one is going to do anything in front of me and they shouldn't.
Lay
not to
down
sound
the
scary.
Law. Yeah, not to sound scary.
I hope
scary.
You are listening.
Daily Oz
stuff.
Contingent. Remy, what happens on set? Because, like, do you have Christmas parties
Unless I guess we're shooting through Christmas. Yeah, we get a wrap party. We get a Christmas party at the end of every project.
Oh.
And I am kind of bound by, the strict unspoken code.
And you're at amazing, like, Zendaya's at your rap party, right?
Right, right. Look, all I will say is, things...
He signed too many NDAs to have this conversation.
I've seen marriages made and broken.
Wow. Well, we might extend the shake-up for another 30 minutes as you explain that.
Tell us more.
No, but
the
really.
Silence.
Look, all I'm going to say is after we shot Spider-Man, Tom Holland did come out with a non-alcoholic beer brand.
Afterwards. Right, okay.
And I'm actually not saying anything about him.
Oh, sounds like you are.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he saw us. Maybe he looked at us and went, guys, here's something for you.
He was like, everyone needs to calm down a little bit. What do you think about mixing work and fun, Remy?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, moderation, absolutely.
Have you had any embarrassing situations?
Oh, come on. Don't we all? Don't we all? I can't be alone.
Yeah, I've had a few. Yeah. I'm actually a little bit worried about the Christmas party tonight because I've been on this, I was telling you guys before we came on air, this alcohol break. Because I did this interview recently on Hack and we're talking about people drinking and I just thought, maybe I need a little bit of a break. So it's been 6 weeks. And
that's
so
amazing.
If I take a drink, who knows what's going to happen at the Christmas party?
Mm.
I've got a wig, as I said before. I love
Anything
wigs.
Could
Anything could happen.
You know what you should do?
Yeah.
Play games.
Yes. So what games do you play? Sorry?
Mafia.
Okay.
Have you played that?
I haven't played Mafia, but I know
it's
the concept.
So good.
Yeah. Okay.
So good.
Someone says, I work in media. I got super drunk off the free bar and fell in the bathroom, gave myself a concussion and blacked out. Next thing, I'm in front of the office manager throwing up all over the ground. Thankfully, did not get fired.
Wow.
My word. That is extreme. Another person says, a mate of mine tried to wrestle his boss at the Christmas party. Oh, there's some very intense stories coming through right now. And I think on that note, we should wrap it because...
Because you've got a Christmas party to get to.
And we don't want to put people in too much of a tricky situation. Hey, that is all for the shake-up. Big thanks to our guests, actor Remy Heath. Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure.
And not getting Tom Holland in trouble. We love that. Billy Fitzsimons for The Daily Oz. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And a big thanks to the hardworking Hat Crew, executive producer Stephen Smiley, radio producer Eva Blakemore, and wonderful reporters Angel Parsons, Shalala Medora, April McLennan, Ariana Lucente, Alice Angeloni, Jackson Worthington, and Grace McKinnon. Shantan is coming up next. I'm going to catch you after the weekend. Hopefully nothing at the Christmas party. Bye.